Thank you so much for coming to my website today.
This has got to be the saddest day of my life. I called you here today for a bit of bad news. I won't be able to see you anymore because of my obligations and the ties that you have. We've been meeting here every day. And since this is our last day together, turn and walk away. Don't look back. I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
I had to meet you here today.
Now, let me say something to you. You know, I'm trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do, really? I mean, my president that represents me in this country. Damn. What do I do? What do I do when this kind of stuff is allowed? Wait a minute. Look, come on. It's gone. Yeah.
Please, darling, don't you cry.
Let's just do something.
Let's just kiss and say goodbye. Many months have passed us by.
Many months since Trump has been in the White House now. And for those of you, my conservative friend, that think that he's your new Messiah because you put down God, you better check it. This cat is rambunctiously wrong. And you know what? I'm trying to, in my old ass mind, trying to balance all this. I can't lie. Listen, you need to listen. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Understand me.
Hey.
Try.
I'm trying. Let's do this.
Let's just kiss.
Yeah.
Say goodbye.
Ah, yes. It's time for us to kiss and say goodbye. I'm gonna miss you. I can't lie. I like that idea of making America great, but you know what? You better understand this. It's done. What can we do to get it back? I've been listening to the commentaries now for 2 days. 2 days in a row. People trying to get this thing right. People trying to say, well, he didn't say this, he did say that. You know what? He said it. Not only did he say it, he meant it. Because ain't nobody gonna be speaking to you unless they're speaking to you from their heart. And when you take a whole group of people, I don't care what group it is. I don't care what group it is. I don't care what color they are. They have life. They are living. They are human beings. You know what? I'm going to tell you, you American Christians, those of you that follow that racist, bigoted, I want to make this perfectly clear, and I want to be perfectly honest about it. I graduated from primarily an all-white graduate school, Talbot Theological Seminary. I'm not going to call it a cemetery. It was a seminary because I believe that some of the men that I studied under that taught me classical Bible believed in the first fruits of the Spirit of God as he spoke to the people around the world. But I believe that some of them were racist too. I had a professor. I'm glad I forgot his name. He was from Mississippi, and he taught evangelism of all things, and he admitted to the class that he had an attitude against blacks. That would be the kind of Donald Trump person that I studied under at that institution. Okay? I recall I was in my 40s when I sat in that classroom, much older than the seminary students that just came out of their bachelor's degree, working on their master's and their PhD, and so that they could be sent all over the country to teach a certain warranty on people. Anytime one individual thinks himself to be above any other individual because of his race or anything else, it makes me want to go back and listen to the oldies. Let's just kiss and say goodbye. Listen, when I went to grad school and studied theology proper to be a pastor, to help the inner cities, to help black people, inner city people, Hispanic people, white people, you can come along too, because I love you too, because the God that I love taught me and trained me and endeavored me to love every human being that I never met, and to never think that any human being comes from a shit hole. Anyone that would say something like that is dangerous, and I'm telling you right now, Donald Trump is dangerous for this country. He is dangerous. I may lose my place on the World Wide Web for saying this, but to hell with this site and everything else. When you do people like that, the revolutionary person that I am has come out. We have to live, and we have to fight for the right. It was black people, indigenous people, that built this damn country. Built the very White House that Donald Trump sleeps in every night. It was a black man that designed the architecture of that city, Washington, D.C. Anyone with a brain knows that. The most brilliant mind in that cabinet today is a black man. Because when he goes in to operate on a brain, he can put you back together and make you live. He may sound like a doofus when he's in front of a camera because of his leader, but that man is brilliant. I know what black people can produce in this world. And to call it a shithole, if I were the head of that cabinet, I would resign. I would have to say, I can no longer be on this because you're calling me a shithole too. See, that's what a real man would do. Walk away from that. Walk away from the prestige, from the world dominance, and all of that. Get out while the getting is good. Anyone that feels that way about anyone else forces me to kiss and say goodbye. And you know what? I just want to hear something else. Because when you keep it real, it sounds a little bit like this.
This has got to be the saddest day of my life.
Yeah.
I called you here today for a bit of bad news.
A bit of bad news. Let me share something with you.
I won't be able to see.
Let me share something with you.
Because of,
and this is for real.
And the tide.
Wait a minute. Let me share something with you. You can play that record over and over and over again. I want you to think with me. Who would or who could justify such language? May I keep it extremely real for you? Not only to keep it extremely real for you, but to share with you why it is important that that reality is kept. I want to share that with you. If we do not change the course of action in this country, the way our leadership is playing with the lives of the American people. And unfortunately, I am American. See, statements like that reflects upon what people around the world that listen to me think about me. Listen to me. This kind of language coming from the President of the United States. Listen to me. I'm going to say something. It is not racist. It is not racist. No, it's extremism. It is what it is, the spirit of Adolf Hitler. Extremism that would bring about the annihilation of another form or species of humanity, whether they be black, Asian, white, or what. We're all human beings. We're human species, yes. But this man is so agitated by the existence of other peoples and their contributions to human history. He has to be an ignoramus if he doesn't know that everything that burgeoned from being one thing came from blackness. He has to know that. Anyone that listens to me has to affirm that. If you want to keep it down to that indigenous DNA from which everything derived, it was black. Humanity derives in Africa, yeah, if you will, to use the president's word, from that shithole. All brilliance got its beginning, because all of us come from shitholes. You Europeans stayed in one, in ice for years. Plague and pestilence was trying to remove you until you had gotten something right. See, all of us have a little, if you will, shitholeness in us. You Asians, why are the Malaysians yet this day treating the Papuans so poorly? Why? Because there is a disease that lurks deep within all human beings. All of us. We're just seeing it in Trumpism. It is seen in the way our police departments behave towards minority people in the inner cities, as opposed to how they behave towards outlandish, outrageous white people that do things that would have warranted 5 bullets. But to kill a black man for nothing. Let's just kiss and say goodbye. I can't take it any longer. No, I didn't say that I didn't want to live in America. No, I didn't say that I hate white people. No, I didn't say that at all. I said I can't take this any longer. This is ridiculous what we're doing. We are sitting or standing or squatting, I guess it is, in our own piles, and not saying something. I would like to appeal to my white friends that know me. If I were sitting in front of you, I would ask you, how can you justify this? I would say this to every white man that I know. How can you justify this? How can you? This black man loved you, loves you, will always love you, cares for your family, cares for whatever happens to you. How can you sit silent and not scream to the top of your voices that the leader of your country is wrong? I'm speaking to the evangelical white pastors that know me. You you that have your pulpits that come up out of the floor, the John MacArthurs, you know, all this, how can you sit silent and not respond in a way that you ought? How can you? Man, yeah, wait a minute, this man is thinking about sending all citizens or people that were not citizens of this country back to their Mexican heritage and everything. Do you know what that would do to Los Angeles? You can't be serious. And how can we sit silent and not say anything? And I'm talking to the whole nation. This is the kind of protest. I'm not talking about burning my own city down, tearing up stuff like that. I know if I were a leader of men, not women, men, because it's going to take some men to do what I'm saying to do. All of us have to learn how to bring ourselves, listen, my brothers, back down to a level of poverty of mind. Now get what I say. What I mean by poverty of mind, I'm sorry for that. What I mean by poverty of mind, go back to the place where we didn't have nothing and see how we configured our minds in order to get something without tearing up what we already had. And being smart like we had before we gave up that power for the power of pleasure. We have to bring ourselves to a state of poverty. We won't be able to drive that expensive car. We won't be able to flash the clothes that we have. But we're going to be decent in moral character. And with that decency and moral character, it can be so outstanding that it makes the world blush at who we really are. We're kings, man. I'm the first black man that had an apologetic radio program besides Harley Howard, but I did it on an urban scale, defending God and what God stands for. And I never back up on the propensity of my message to my students, whether in the Christian classroom or in the secular classroom. My students respected me, and I respected and loved them and told them that this day was coming. I told them. I said, I won't be here. Mr. Coleman won't always be here. I remember I had a Hispanic student, and he said, what do you mean, Mr. Coleman? You're going to be here a long time. We're going to be listening to you. And they used to laugh at the things that I told them, especially when I taught them about the Hegelian dialectic, George Frederick Hegel, and what he taught philosophically. Oh, man, I'm seeing some of my neighbors move up in this world. My neighbor got him a brand new car, and I just saw a tow truck take away the other car. Prosperity is flooding America. Don't let nobody fool you. For the middle class people that's working, I see a man sweeping the leaves up off of the sidewalk in front of his house. I remember when his people came here from Guatemala and bought that house. I remember the black lady that owned that house. She left and went to another state, and he bought it, and he's been in it, and he got people coming in, and he's, man, that's, you're not going to get rid of these people. You can do DACA, CACA, whatever you want to call it. And if you try to get rid of these people here in this state, it will start an uprising. Listen. An uprising that will change the very face of America. As Los Angeles is an Hispanic city, so is California a Hispanic state. So is Texas. And you'd be outnumbered. No one wants to enter into World War International thing. So you're not going to win that way. You're not going to ship everybody back. Those are these babies going to school and the teachers got them crying in the streets. Y'all kids stay in the classroom and say, teach us how to be progressive citizens so that we will be in the legislature. We will be voting. We will be the Supreme Court justices. We will do all that. See, now the Hispanics are going to do that because the Hispanics are a people that's going to come together. And they say, hey, man, we're going to build that. Well, let me tell you something. Black men are doing the same thing. But for some strange ass reason, black people have never been able to come together. Now, let me share with you why this amalgamation of black folk hasn't come together like in the Spanish community. And it's simple. Simply put, it's this way. Because we don't love each other, we don't trust each other, our religious institutions are put together to keep us at each other's throats. Point in contact, my life as a pastor. Why don't I have a decent retirement to take care of me? I'm telling you, I got a water heater going out that I can't get replaced. I got a lot of things coming up. I think eventually I'm going to end up in a halfway house somewhere because it's getting worse and worse. But why didn't I have a good pension? Why didn't black people take care of the messenger that was telling them the truth? Why are they taking care of people like T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, all these other pimps, crooks, whoremongers, bastards, and extremely insensitive gay people? Because I know some extremely insensitive gay people. I'm not mad at them being gay, but they are insensitive to anything and anybody around them. You got sinners galore in every kind of people. So we're not getting along on any level. We're just screwing over each other as black people, like we've always done in this country, following the whims of the white slave master that put that fouled up germ in our head that we are to look at another black man, a black woman, and hate them. And the only thing that Christ put in my head since 1967 was to look at the good brother and love him. That was natural for me to do. I'm not crying. My throat is choking up. I'm doing a webcast. Didn't have my water handy. So, it'll never be a revolution like on the ways of, Angela Davis and those people, because you don't have, we like our luxury too much. We love luxury. That's why I said you got to come back to where it was when we all didn't have nothing but God and each other. That's all we need. We look at other black people and we frown up. Where you from? What in the hell? It don't make no difference where they from. Look at the tenure of their skin. Look in their eyes. Not where are they from, but where did they come from? Because a person cannot help where they're from. And they sure had nothing to do with where they came from, because where they came from was where they had to come from. Now, can you love that? Can you respect that? Can you get along with that? See, black people in the church has always fostered competition. I watched it, especially when I became a young pastor. There was young men that would come under my tutelage, and the first thing, I even had a young man, nice young man, till I found out he was on drugs and alcohol. His parents came to the church and said, Pastor John, you're the man to help my son. I loved the boy because he was good to look at. I'm going to tell you the truth. He was just good to look at. He had a kindly state about himself. But that boy was an alcoholic. I loved him right where he was. I had another one came to me, Charles. He was a fine young man. He married a woman, man, that was out of her mind. running up and down the street with no shoes on her feet. I spent long time with this young, loving them, but they were not preacher material. I would never ordain them. I would never. Why in ministry was I betrayed by people that said that they love me? I do not understand that. That's why we can't get together and win any battle. We're so divided and subdivided, and yet to this day we still will not talk about it. PJ, I'm talking about it because I'm a grown man, alive, living my life and enjoying it. I'm not living my life with my wife of 34 years because she died in 2001. This is 2018. I'm living my life, and I'm not living my life in the past. I'm not living the life of a pastor that's pastoring a church, though I am that same pastor that pastored the church. But what are you doing? I'm living my life. We need to join a revolution of love. And when we bind ourselves together and love each other, okay, let's say that we do come from that proverbial shithole that our president is saying that black and African peoples come from. Can anything come out of a good shithole? Hell yes. Do your history right. Stop listening to people that don't understand. Stop listening to people that are ignoramuses. And then you've got to listen. He's using that. Donald Trump is using that to start stuff. What everyone needs to do is to totally ignore him. Because if you do not, that ignoramus is going to bring you to a place that he wants to bring us to, dividing. I go back to my white friends that listen to me. Have I changed in all the years that you've known me? Am I not the same man seeking the answer to questions that are unfathomable? I can barely say the word unfathomable because it is unthinkable what the president of the United States said a couple of days ago. This is ridiculous. We just need to kiss and say goodbye. Man, I'm through with it. Black people, if we don't love one another, if we stop becoming tribal and become a nation that's not jealous of what another black man has. Okay, let's put this on the line. LeBron James is a living basketball player today. I'm still alive. LeBron James is a young man. I don't think he's, 35, 36 years old. He's playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that basketball team is named that on the National Basketball League. LeBron James, muscle-bound, strong man. There's nothing about him that I've ever been attracted to. His body, nor his mind, nor the way he talks, walks, anything. He is just a black man that I've seen on television. Now, this is the way this works. If God uses LeBron to say something to help me as a people, why can't I merge and go along with that? Why can't I? There's nothing that I'm attracted to about that man. Why can't I link up with him just as a national black man if he's saying something for the advancement of our culture, of the people that I came up with, that if he understands the black man that lives in the inner city? Why can't we love each other on that level? Why can't he listen to this webcast and say, you know what, that man is right. Let me get in touch with him and say, why can't we do that? Why can't we do it? Why can't one of you hear this webcast, tell LeBron James to listen to it and see if LeBron James can love John Coleman, a 73-year-old black man that's not attracted to him sexually in any way, just love him because of his blackness? Why can't I love Kaepernick you know, that quarterback of the football team because of the blackness that he has in him, because of the whiteness that he has in him. I understand that the boy was rich before he started throwing a football, but I think he should have thought before he made that to go out on his own and to challenge his professional career. I would not have done it that way. I would have done it the way that I'm doing it. Let's grow to love each other and become a force amongst ourselves. And a force that is so broad and so expansive that it loves the white people that may not think that the president was wrong in what he said. Now you see, because this love expands and goes out. This love is from God. This love is not John's love. This love is not national love. It's not a nationalistic love. That's what Hitler had. You know, he says, well, I got to take my homelands and let's get rid of these Russian Jews and these gypsies and all the homosexuals and the blacks. And we just going to have a world of light-skinned people with blonde hair and blue eyes run around here, Aryans? What? Not to be able to look in the face of a Polynesian and say, damn, they're beautiful. Not to look in the face of a Nigerian, dark in skin color. Look deep down into a Nigerian's eyes. See the beauty and the love. To look in an Egyptian, an Iraqi, a Belizean, taken from Africa, made to be a slave on that island, started a revolt, and got their freedom. All right, I know what the earthquake did, but my God, the Haitians, same thing, fought powerful people. And to call them that. And he called them that because when the Obama administration was in there, we were sending funds down there. This man wants to cut off all the funds and help his own people. Now do you see why I say, do it my way? Because when you come against, if there's more of his people here that think like him than think like me, in physical war and conflict, especially if his people owns the jets, the stealth bombers. Y'all don't live in Southern California. Every year on the Rose Parade, when it comes out, it just so happens that the sun be shining nice. And before the wonderful Rose Parade start are the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, a stealth bomber goes over that stadium. Do you know what that stealth bomber represent? Oh, you think that's just commemorating a new year. And no, do you know what that stealth bomber represents? I'm going to tell you what it represents. Power. That's what it represents. The power of the United States of America. And if you think and your ideas think that anything is going to crash that power down but the power of God, you are out of your mind. Now that may anger a lot of us as black people and minority people, but you know, you become an insatiatious racist yourself. Don't fall into that same trap. I believe that as we look around and see what's happening on this beautiful planet of ours and listen to the news, it's the same great ball that's been floating out here in this hemisphere for millions of years. And the humans that govern the pieces of land that we are sprawled all over has come and died for millions of years. And there will be those of us left millions of years. I'm asking us to tie into history and to look at this mistake of choice based upon the powers that be manipulating we persons of this land that we live on. I'm going to stop worrying. That's me, because I love everybody and I pray that they all love me. I'm going to stop worrying. I'm going to do what some of these young boys tell me to do here. They look at me and they said, "Oh man, we understand where you're coming from." But they say, "Hey, you're going to be all right. Don't be afraid." I tell them, "I'm not afraid, man. I'm not afraid. No, I'm not afraid. You know, my God has said, if I be for you, who can prevail against you?" You guys that listen to me, just know this. History is a pretty good advantage. Oh, and by the way, if any of you minority people can tell me why we can't get along, am I right on that? See, and the church is done. I was talking with one of my younger students, and he just put it this way: the church is damn dead. That's what he said. Everywhere in this country, because the church primarily won't stand up and say that what I'm saying is a truth. That's why they eventually got rid of me, because they know that I would tell them the truth. And I hadn't been living long enough when I became a Christian to know what real deep dyed in the wool sin is. And the whole thing of Christianity is that when you live a life of sin, you come to them and to confess your sins, and they be the ones that tell you that you're right. That's bullshit. They can't tell you anything, just like they couldn't tell me anything about my life. Trying to tell me I'm living in sin. What? Living in sin would be eating babies as they come out of the womb and saying, "Wasn't that tasty?" That would be living in sin. Christianity got it so twisted that they can look at human affection, what I'm talking about. Human affection toward another human being. Can you love the other human being enough not to see them as a shithole? No, I can't. Well, there it is. Nothing else needs to be said. Nothing else. Now, I want you to listen again to the words of this song, and I want you to take the words deep down within your heart and apply the words not to a lover that has gone away, but let's call this lover love, because if you believe that this charade is to continue as you listen to this song philosophically one more time, and then I'll have something to say at the end. Let's see who's right or who's wrong in the whole situation. Now listen with me.
This has got to be the saddest day of my life. I called you here today for a bit of bad news. I won't be able to see you now because of my obligations and the ties that you have. We've been meeting here every day.
Every day.
And since this is our last day together, when you turn and walk away, don't look back. I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
I had to meet you here today. There's just so many things to say.
just comes a time when you don't want to put up with it anymore. I told you guys, I stopped voting in 1974, and I do not regret it. I did not regret it. Saw right through it. I told my students in the college, they said, "Oh, Mr. Coleman, you don't vote?" "No, I will vote." I said, "Man, that thing can be turned over, betwixt." And then when I studied political science when I was in junior college, when I attended East LA JC is when I took political science. There is when I have my transcripts here. I look up that class and see what grade I made there. That was a Manhattan singing in the 70s, "Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye." And I use that analogy because I'm finished with anything that ever has to do with politics. I have done like the true revolutionaries have always done. And I have retreated into my sanity. And I believe that living a certain way is always expected. And to live outside of the way that it would be, I don't think that the old ways are coming back. I think that the old ways need to be gone. I think I'm going to go to my grave believing this. Hear me out. I'm going to go to my grave. And I want those of you that know me to know why I'm saying this. I'm going to go to my grave not believing practically anything that I was taught about this country and equity for all of my life. I believe that I'm going to die and take that with me into eternity. And it is very disappointing. Very disappointing. And me on a personal level, I'm just gonna love the way I've taught. Well, here's my phone. Look, thank you for coming to my website. See you next time.